You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
There are times the scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans and sighs that words sometimes can't even express. And in other words, sometimes I think our prayers kind of sound like, ah! You know, or they sound like, or they sound like, and that is the Spirit interceding for us, even in the midst of that, when we don't have the words to say that the Spirit is there moving us and speaking for us. And I had one of those experiences this week. So Wednesday morning, we were leaving the house and we took two separate cars, and Michelle took her car and Jeremiah and went on to school, and Elijah and I were a couple minutes behind them, and we get outside to the car, and Elijah looks down the driveway and he says, "Hey Dad, the garbage can is in the middle of the driveway. That's weird." I was like, "That is weird." He's like, "Do you want me to go move it?" And I was like, "Yeah, thanks, son. Wow, way to take some initiative, you know, that you're going to help us out." And I said, "Yeah, going down to the end of the driveway, I'll just get in the car, I'll back down, pick you up at the bottom." So he goes down the driveway, so moving it, I back up. Now, in our front yard, our driveway is here, the house is over here, and there's this really big, humongous evergreen tree on this side of the driveway. So as I'm backing down, as soon as I start to pass this evergreen tree, I see something move out of the corner of my eye, and I look over in the morning, you know, dim light and mist, and this huge black bear is sitting in the front yard, about 15 yards from where Elijah's standing, and he doesn't even see it. And I just pulled the car as quick as I could between the bear and Elijah, flipped the door open, and said, "Get in!" And he was like, "What?" I said, "Get in the car!" And then once he got in the car, I was like, "Do you not see that bear? It's like 15 yards away from you." And he was like, "Where?" Totally oblivious. Didn't see it at all. But there was that moment where you're kind of like, you know, and you're like, "That could have been really bad, you know." Thank you, God, that was not bad, and it was fine, and the bear probably wouldn't have messed with him. But who knows, you know? As a dad, that's like that helpless feeling of, that was my baby there, and, you know, this bear was about 20 times his size, and okay. But anyhow, it reminded me of the story, and you may have heard this, but the story of the atheist who went walking one day in the woods, and he was admiring the beauty of the forest, and he says, "What majestic trees, and what powerful rivers, and what beautiful animals," he said to himself. And as he was walking along the river, he heard a rustling in the woods, and suddenly he turned to look, and this 7-foot grizzly comes out of the woods and is running at him, charging at him. And so the guy takes off running as fast as he could up the path, and he's kind of looking over his shoulder as he's running, and as he's running faster, you know, so scared that tears are starting to come to his eyes, and the bear's catching up with him, and then he trips and he falls. And then this bear catches him and raises his paw, and he's like, "This is the end." And in that instant, the guy calls out, "Oh my God!" And time stopped, and the bear froze. And the forest was silent, and even the river stopped moving for a moment. And a bright light shone upon the man, and a voice came out of the sky and says, "You deny my existence for all these years. You teach others that I don't exist. Do you really expect me to help you in this predicament now? Am I to count you as a believer now?" And the atheist looked into the light and says, "It would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," the voice said. The light went out. The river ran again. The sounds of the forest returned. And the bear dropped to his paw, brought his two paws together, bowed his head and spoke, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I'm very thankful. Amen." So this month, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer, a little bit about prayer. In Sunday school, our Sunday school lessons are going to be about this topic of prayer and the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at some different stories in the life of Jesus connected to this prayer. And so I thought it might be a good idea for us to take a look at some complementary stories, some other stories throughout Scripture where this topic of prayer comes up again in our worship time. So I thought where we might start, at least this week, would be to at least begin with a definition. What are we talking about? When we talk about prayer, what do we mean by that? And in its simplest form, prayer is communication with God. You know, talking, listening, communication. Ralph Martin wrote in one of his books, said, prayer is at root simply paying attention to God. You know, acknowledging God, paying attention to what God's doing. It can come in so many different forms and so many different methods, whether it's prayers of praise or prayers of thanksgiving or prayers of request, prayers of just meditation and contemplation on the Lord, prayers of intercession where we are interceding for others, prayers of lament where we just need to come to God and just say, God, this world, it's something's messed up and I'm upset about it and I'm mad about it and you didn't do what I thought you would do and I just need to let you know that. Sometimes they come in prayers of confession of God, I have messed this thing up and I need to confess that. And sometimes it's this prayer of God of examination, Lord, search me, help me find those places because I'm so close to it, I can't even see what's going on in me. But all of these can kind of be summed up in this umbrella of communication with God or even paying attention to God. And so part of our understanding when we start to think about prayer should at least be to ask the question, who is prayer for anyway? Many have said prayer is not really for God at all, that rather prayer is really for our benefit. That we pray to get ourselves on board with God, to listen to God, to align our lives with God. But prayer isn't really about changing or affecting God at all. And maybe to some degree, there's some truth to that. But I want us to look at a couple of stories today from the Old Testament that maybe have a little bit of a different slant. And so I've asked for some helpers. I thought maybe the best way to do this was to do a little bit of a dramatic reading or two. And so the first one comes, we'll do these in biblical order. So we'll start with Genesis. And so I asked Stan and Kim if they would come and help illustrate this or read this together. So this is the story of Abraham. And you remember the messengers come to Abraham and they give this message about what God is going to do towards the city of Sodom, that there has been, the city's unrighteous, and God's going to punish the city. And so this is kind of the conversation that happens between God and Abraham after these messengers have come. So
the messengers of God turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, what do you mean, sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose he said, oh no, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but just this once, suppose 10 times.
sake of ten, I will not destroy it.
And the Lord went his way. When he finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place.
All right, and one other one. Similar passage, but fast forward a little bit. God's people have been in Egypt. The Israelites have been in Egypt for like 400 years. They're slaves. Moses comes, leads them out of Egypt. They get into the wilderness to the mountain, Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up onto the mountain to receive the law, to receive the commandments of the Lord. And while he's up there, we know the story that the people down below, Moses has been up there 40 days, and they say, hey, we think Moses is dead, so Aaron, here's what we need you to do. You know, fashion for us a calf. You know, it's maybe not exactly how it went, but he said, gather up all your gold and we'll melt it down, and they make this golden calf. And God looks down from the mountain to see the golden calf and has a little conversation with Moses. So, Shell and Sean are going to come help me with this one. This is from Exodus 32. So two stories, two prayers. I don't know, if you were thinking about this, as I was reading it, I was like, talk about guts, you know, on behalf of Moses and on behalf of Abraham. Talk about boldness. We typically come to God and we say things like, God, if you will please, we pray that you might, if it's in your will, Lord, and we... Some element of that is humility, that we realize how big God is and that we are surrendering ourselves to that. But Moses and Abraham seem to have no qualms about just coming right before God and just laying out their desires, laying out their requests, and to do so boldly. Moses and Abraham come to God to intercede on behalf of the people, and God allows them to do that. God doesn't immediately hear Abraham's request or Moses' request and just put them in their place like he does to Job. The end of Job, when Job starts to question God, chapter 38 and beyond, he essentially says, where were you, Job, when I created the earth? Where were you? Were you the one that created the seas or the light or the dark? Have you commanded even one day to begin and to end? Have you entered into the depths of the earth? Have you caused snow and rain? And he just kind of goes on and on. It's like, who do you think you are, Job, to question me? He could have done that. I mean, we have examples of that in Job. God, the way I like to think of it, kind of gave Job the royal smackdown a little bit. Lovingly, but, you know. But God allows Moses and Abraham to come in and to question and to challenge in some ways. And as I looked at both of these conversations, this conversation between Moses and God, Abraham and God, I think it says something about the kind of relationship that God has with each of them. And by extension, maybe with us as well. It's the kind of relationship where dialogue is not only allowed, but invited or encouraged. The idea here is that God isn't the only one with something important to say. That in this conversation, both God and Moses, both God and Abraham, they have a contribution to this relationship, to this conversation that's going on. That for Moses, for Abraham, they're wrestling this thing out. And I think that's important, especially as we think about the people of Israel, the name Israel meaning one who wrestles with God. That for us as inheritors of that tradition, that's part of our calling, is to wrestle this thing out, that we have a contribution to make to the conversation as well. So let's look at, just for a moment, specifically Moses' prayer. He begins with an appeal to God's reasonableness, in a sense. He's like, God, remember what you've done. You just brought us out of Egypt. I mean, it was only a month ago, you know. It was only a month and a half ago that you brought us out of Egypt, Lord. Why would it make sense to destroy us so quickly? Come on, God, you're reasonable. Why would we do this? And then he continues on, not only God's reasonableness, but it's about God's reputation. He says, God, what are the neighbors going to say? You've led your people out of Egypt only to destroy them. What are they going to think about you, God? What are the Egyptians going to say? They're going to look at this and they're going to look at you. They're going to laugh. And they're going to think that they won. But it's not only about your reasonableness, God. It's not only about your reputation. He appeals to God's covenant promises. And this is the main thrust of it. He says, God, you have made a promise to Abraham. You've made a promise to Isaac. You've made a promise to Jacob. You have chosen us as your people. You cannot just break that promise now. You can't just turn your back on us, God. You know, if you remember the last couple of weeks, we've talked a little bit about that covenant promise, that covenant love, that steadfast loyalty that we talk about in Hebrew, that chesed, that Moses is essentially saying to God, God, this is your character. This is who you are. This is who you've told us you are. You can't break that. And it seems, as we read the passage, as it ended there, it said, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken on bringing on his people. One translation even said it this way. The Revised Standard Translation says, God repented of the direction he was going. I just found that kind of interesting. Not that God has to repent of sin, not that God has sinned and God needs to, but repent is the sense of like changing direction. I was going this way, but I'm now going to do this instead. That there's this sense that God changed direction here, that I was going to judge them. But now that Moses has come and now Moses has entered into this conversation, I am now changing my direction from where I was or what I had previously said. It's as if God was going to do this, but God changed his mind in some way. Maybe. In a similar way, Abraham's intercession, when he comes to God, has some effect on God's judgment, at least in some sense. He says, God, your character, who you are, you wouldn't allow judgment on an innocent person. God, you are righteous. Punishing the innocent isn't consistent with that. And God allows Abraham to come before him and allows Abraham to enter into this conversation and listens to Abraham and responds to Abraham's objection. And even though we're listening to it, and I love the way Stan and Kim did that, but even though it cut off at 10, we could imagine that it's probably, the point has been made at that point. If it was even one, you know, the sense of would be like God's will not punish the innocent. Sorry, God will not be unjust. God will be just in God's execution. And then the reality is that we're all guilty. That there really is none that are innocent, and so any that are saved are by God's grace, are by God's mercy. The bottom line is this. One commentator, Terence Fretheim, he said it this way. God has invited us in prayer, has invited us into a conversation, one that has the capacity to change the future directions for God, people, and the world. God may well adjust the modes and directions, though not the ultimate goals in view of such human responsiveness. I know that's a little wrap our head around. What did he just say? Let me finish this quote, though. He says, it is this openness to change that reveals what is about God. What it is about God that is unchangeable. God's steadfast love has to do with God. Or God's steadfastness has to do with God's love. God's faithfulness has to do with God's promise. God's will is for the salvation of all. So, all of that to say, what is he trying to say? There are things about God that are unchangeable. There are things about God that are true yesterday, today, and forever, as the scripture says. There are things such as God's steadfast love for God's people, such as God's faithfulness to God's promise, such as God's desire that all will be saved. But what I think this commentator is trying to help us see is that when we pray, we are invited into a dynamic relationship, one where we are invited not only to listen to what God has to say to us, but to also speak. We are invited to give thanks. We are invited to stand in awe. We are invited to contribute to the conversation. We are invited to bring our requests to God. Invited to give, that we are given a chance by God to unleash the Spirit's power in the world, in the lives of the people we pray for, and the situations we pray for, and in the places in our world where there is suffering and pain and need. And the reality is, we have a part to play. I really think prayer is about the way it changes us. But I think the scripture shows that prayer also is a way for us to have some kind of impact in what God is doing. Yes, God's ultimate purposes are the same, and they don't change. But the way in which God orchestrates that and uses that, the way in which God unleashes God's power in specific situations, has a direct connection to the prayers of God's people. That we have a responsibility and that we have a role. So therefore, as we enter into this dialogue, into this conversation, we should do so boldly. Not arrogantly, not as if God owes us something, but boldly because we know that God has invited us to do this. That God will listen to our requests because we know that prayer really does change things. Not only for us, but for the rest of the world as well. That the Spirit is working in us. The Spirit is working through us. We have the responsibility to keep the conversation open. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the example of Moses and the example of Abraham. Thank you, Lord, for their boldness to come before you, to enter into conversation with you, to contribute. And Lord, I thank you that you desire that kind of relationship with us. And that, Lord, that our prayers do make a difference. When we pray for those that are sick, when we pray for those that are hurting, when we pray for those that are lonely, when we pray for those that are depressed, when we pray for broken relationships, Lord. We know that you care about them and your desire is to bring healing and reconciliation and wholeness. And so, Lord, I thank you that we have a part to play. And often, Lord, our part is to reach out and to put hands and feet to our prayers as well. Not only does it unleash your Spirit in the situation, but it also unleashes your Spirit in us to go and to actually try to seek to answer those prayers, to be the one who can love those who are hurting, feed those who are hungry, bring peace to broken relationships. So, Lord, I pray that we would take responsibility for our part as well. And that as we continue in this conversation, this dynamic relationship that you have invited us into, that we will take our responsibility seriously. Help us to come to you just to keep the communication open. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.